and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. We now go live to the sanctuary of Calvary Chapel as Pastor Dave shares with us here on God in Our City.
This love so rescuing, oh how infinitely sweet, this great love that has redeemed, has won me
be seated. Welcome. We hope that you're enjoying yourself today. If you're just joining us by radio, we're glad that you're here. If you're just joining us by Facebook, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I have an amazing face for radio. If you're joining us by our live stream, we hope you're enjoying it. We're glad that all of you can be with us today. And in just a moment, I'm going to share a message on rest. So if you know somebody who's tired, get out your phone right now. Well, you can text yourself, but I don't really know how to do that. But if you're tired, if you're weary, if you know someone who's tired and weary, right now, text them. Send them a text and say, go to 570 AM The Mission, live. Pastor Dave's going to tell you how to get some rest. Live, we're going to tell you how to get some rest. So if you're tired, you're fatigued, something's going on inside of you, you don't know why, go ahead and do that. But speaking of people who should be tired and who are not, today is Graduate Sunday, so we're on. Let's give it up for our graduates. We have some folks graduating. Now, if you graduated from pre-K to K, good for you. If you graduated from K to first grade, good for you. However, if you graduated from the fifth grade and you're going to start the sixth grade, we want to honor you. Anybody like that in the building today, fifth to sixth grade? Is that you? No. Come on up, Lucas. Come on up. Come on over here, Lucas. Congratulations. We want to give you this class of 2019. Feeling pretty good, right? You should. Amen. All right. Any other fifth to sixth grade? Okay. How about from eighth grade to high school? Any eighth grade to high school? Come on down. Come on down. Come on, you're over here. Come on, come on. Wow, wow, congratulations. There you go. You want the brown or you like that? That's good, you're so happy with that. All right, now, here's the big one. Is anyone here graduating from high school and then college, going to college? Anyone like that? Come on down, Vince Imperato. Yeah. Vince has worked incredibly hard and made it. So yes, we want to give it up to him. And I just happen to have, when you go to high school, to college, we give you a Bible with your name engraved on it, Vince. Congratulations. Let's give it up for our 2019 graduates. Congratulations. God's blessing as you move forward. Let's pray, Lord, as each of these individuals transitions, Lord, to the next schools, we pray that your hand will be upon them. Help them to walk with you, be a witness for you wherever they are, and use them for your kingdom and glory. Thank you for the work they've done, and thank you, Lord, for the work they're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations, you guys. Amen. Speaking of people who have graduated, Pastor Paul Schooling now comes to share our scriptures today.
Thank you, Pastor. Yeah, I graduated from stage 4 cancer to cancer-free. Can you stand with me as we read Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30? Come to me, all you who... Wait, we got to start this over again. It starts with the word come. That's when you're supposed to start reading with me. Isn't that right, Sam?
That's how it works.
Okay, thank you. Okay, let's try that. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Let's pray. Father, today, we trust and we believe that if we place our trust in you, our burden can't be too difficult, because there is nothing too difficult for you. Lord Jesus, I pray that as we continue in our worship, as we continue in sitting under the preaching and teaching of your word, that we'll listen to your still small voice of what you would have for us, and that we would go away from this time proclaiming, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and I truly believe. In your holy, mighty, powerful name we pray. Amen.
Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? For he's the strength of our lives. See, the Lord is my light. Let's all sing it.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. So I will not be afraid. No, I will not be afraid. Because the Lord is my life. The Lord is my life. The Lord is my
sing it again. The Lord is my light.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. So I will not be afraid. No, I will not be afraid. Because the Lord is my life. The Lord is my life. Salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my life and my salvation. The Lord is the strength of my life. So I will not be afraid.
'cause the Lord is my light.
The Lord is my light. The Lord is my light.
In the darkest hour.
In the darkest hour, He will keep me.
Yeah, evil has no power.
Evil has no power when He shelters. Salvation, the Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light and my salvation.
Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, because the Lord never lets go of us. Amen.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know You are near. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, who then shall I?
That's coming.
I can see a light that is coming for a heart that holds on. A glorious life beyond all compare.
There will be an end.
There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know You here on the earth.
I will fear
no evil.
Let's all stand off.
Never let go.
Oh,
Oh no, you never let go.
Singing,
oh.
I can see a light that is coming for a heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes,
still I will praise you. I can see a light. Oh,
I can see a light that is coming.
But until that day comes,
still I will praise you. Still I will praise you.
Singing,
oh no, never let go. Through the calm and through the storm, oh no, never let go. Every high and every low.
God, you have been so amazingly good to us. It's almost, Lord, it's almost too hard to imagine how good you've been to us. Lord, thank you that it's not up to us to hold on to you. Lord, we've let go way too many times. But thank you, Lord, underneath are the everlasting arms. Thank you, Lord, that your sheep hear your voice and you know them and they follow you and you give them eternal life. And no one is able to pluck them out of your hand. And your Father, Lord, who is greater than all, no one's able to pluck them out of your Father's hand. Thank you, Lord, that you are holding on to us today. Lord, we cry, we rejoice that if God be for us, who can be against us? And if God be for us, who cares who's against us? Thank you, Lord, for the walk that we have with you every day, and that you're always here, always working on us, always moving us, always changing us, never giving up on us, Lord, even when we give up on you. And Lord, as we come together and we talk today, we hear your word, as I hear your word, may, Lord, we respond to you, because we know that you love us and you have our best interests in mind. Lord, we would pray for our country today, for a spiritual awakening like we've never seen, Lord. We would pray for our state today, Lord, for a spiritual awakening like we've never seen. Lord, we pray for our city today. We pray, Lord, that you will, Lord, bring in our city a spiritual awakening, Lord, where people actually come to Jesus Christ and their lives are transformed and our city experiences the same. Lord, help our mayor and those in authority. Give them wisdom. Lord, protect our cops. Lord, protect their minds. Well, we lost another police officer this week to suicide. Please, Lord, protect their minds. Watch over our firefighters, our EMS, and our cops. And in our time together, Lord, Lord, help us to listen to you and help us to obey you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you're getting seated, we welcome you to our summer series. Pastor Schooling and I are, you know, we're reminded of a time when there weren't series, where you just preached. But we live in a world that we like a little, you know, a little coherence, a little knowing what's going on. So our series that we're going to do this summer, we call basically I'm searching for. And we're going to talk mostly from the book of Matthew, and we're going to talk about, like, today's topic. I'm searching for rest, the rest that only God can give. Now, I got saved many years ago. And the year after I became a serious follower of Christ, the group Chicago, anybody remember Chicago? Chicago toured before I got saved, and they're still touring. They're a little slower, but they're still touring. The year after I became a serious Christian, serious follower of Christ, Chicago came out with what I thought was a perfect song to describe how I felt. The name of the song was, I've Been Searching So Long. I was only 14 years at the time, so I hadn't been searching all that long. But I thought the song captured my conversion so well, I even thought that Chicago might be a secret Christian group. Now, I didn't have a lot of money growing up. I wouldn't spend a lot of money on a lot of different things. But I had the 45. Anybody remember what a 45 looked like? I didn't get the album, the Chicago album. I had the 45. If I'd had the album, it was Chicago 7, I would have noticed that, yes, the song Searching So Long is on that album, along with the song The Devil's Sweet. So I probably would have known at that point that they weren't a Christian group, right? I might have figured that out. Now, you may not remember Searching So Long. Paul, do you have the pulpit mic set to go here? The pulpit mic set to go. I want you to hear, see if you remember this song. Isn't that good music? Here it comes. It gets even better. Well, Peter, it's going to play it again. There you go. Peter Cetera then sings in that beautiful tenor voice, as my life goes on, I believe, somehow something's changed, something deep inside, oh, a part of me. There's a strange new light in my eyes, things I've never known, changing my life, changing me. I've been searching for so long to find an answer. Now I know my life has meaning. Today, we begin a new series entitled I've Been Searching, which will attempt to give the answer for much of what we have been searching for. And as we begin the vacation series in here in the Northeast, what better topic to start with than I've been searching for rest. I've been searching for what? Rest. How many of you know that you can go on a vacation and not come back rested? How many of you have been on a vacation and not come back rested? How many of you have spent a lot of money on a vacation and not come back rested? Because a vacation doesn't guarantee rest. In fact, most individuals in our present society never rest. They may vacate, that's the root word of vacation, but they don't experience rest. Jesus, in speaking to his disciples and others, called us to rest. Called us to an amazing spiritual rest. Our text begins with a revelation regarding rest. I think it is almost impossible for us to understand the situation in life that the first century people Jesus spoke to found themselves in. In Israel, at that time, there was a religious system that was abusing them. They were under oppression from their religious system. In addition to that, they were under the domination of the Romans. Everywhere you walked, there were Roman citizens. You were on your guard, as seemed, all the time, both from the religious leaders and from the Roman citizen or the Roman leadership, the Roman soldiers. Imagine that. Everywhere you went, somebody was looking to see if you were going to mess up. How restful would you feel? You wouldn't feel too restful. But Jesus, in this context, speaks some very important words. In verses 25 through 27, he says, at that time, it says, the scripture says, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. It gives us the sense here that what's going to be necessary for us to experience rest is to come as a child. At that time, he has just pronounced woes on Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. And he has this amazing prayer. He says, I confess to you, Father. That's the literal word of declare. The Father, the sovereign over heaven and earth, because you've concealed these things, the simplicity of salvation, you've concealed these from the wise ones, from the intelligent ones. Sometimes you and I would say to ourselves, if Christianity is really real, why doesn't everybody believe it? Well, because unless you're willing to humble yourself as a child, you stumble over your own intellectual greatness and are not able to comprehend what God is saying. Now, I'm not against education. I have a doctorate. I've killed myself to be educated, but I understand that smarts is not the only way to coming to know God. In fact, sometimes it gets in your way. You've revealed them, you've uncovered them unto napaios, to minors. The minors can understand this truth. Paul will pick up on this in 1 Corinthians 1, 12 through 27, when he says, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are. Luke will say, speaking the words of Jesus, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. As we talk about these things today, it's important that you and I become childlike. That we do not think of some sort of big solution to the depths of our problems, but we understand it's a very simple solution, and we follow the simple steps for it. Here's the why it's that way. Why does God reveal it to the simple, the young ones, and not the elite? This is very complex. Listen to Matthew 11, 26. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. Jesus speaking to God as his father again says literally, because it was well-pleasing in your presence. I'm going to help you understand this. The depth of the Greek language means this, because God felt like it. God decided this is the way it's going to be. So guess what? Watch this. This is the way it's going to be. He gets to do that, you know. Any parents in the house, when your kids ask you why, you've said, because I said so. Anyone like that? Why is it this way? Because God said so. That's a good feeling, isn't it? Not so much. And then Matthew 11, 27 says, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Jesus is in a group of people who oppose him, and Jesus is basically saying this, the Father's handed over everything to me, without exception. And no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son. And the ones the Son wishes or desires to reveal them to those rejecting Christ, Jesus, in another way, is simply saying, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We live in a pluralistic society, right? You and I come in contact every day with people who believe different than us. People who believe in the Jewish faith, people who believe in the Muslim faith, people who are Hindu, people who are Buddhist, people who are agnostic, everywhere. It's a whole different world. So when we come across people like that, or as we dialogue with people like that, should we say, you know, your way is good, my way is good, all ways are good? No. I know it's politically incorrect, but this is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's it. Well, I don't like that. I know you don't like that. I know everyone doesn't like that. It's very narrow. But Jesus said it. And Jesus said it, so it's true. Now, you may not like the narrowness of Christianity. I've had the wonderful privilege of flying. I don't like flying. I don't like going up. I don't like the time in the air, and I don't like coming down. So I'm still trying to figure out why I would fly anywhere. But the one thing I'm incredibly grateful for is the narrow-mindedness of pilots as they bring a plane in. They land the plane where? On the runway. They don't say, you know what, I think we're going to put it on a street today. Hey, I'm thinking the river looks good. Right on the runway. Why? Because they're narrow-minded. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's narrow, but it's true. And then Jesus makes this amazing invitation to us. It's not complicated. It's just beautiful. Jesus chooses to reveal to those who are listening to him the where. And he simply says, come to me. Where is rest found? In Jesus. Come to me. The Greek word there, duete, it has a sense of come over here. It implies quick movement. It's a strong invite. Later on in Matthew 19:21, Jesus is speaking to a guy who can't decide whether he can give up his riches or not and follow him. And Jesus said, if you'd be perfect, go and sell what you possess and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then watch the words. And what? Come, follow me. Who are we following? Who are we coming to? Jesus. Now, this is a little complex, but it's very powerful. The Greek word for to there, come to Jesus, is a little preposition, pros. And sometimes it carries with the idea of face to face. So Jesus is saying, come here, face to face with me. It's a personal, intimate relationship. Where is rest found? In a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Who gets to come? All who labor and are heavy laden. So if you don't labor, if you're not heavy laden, you don't have to worry about this. But if you labor and are heavy laden, this is for you. Everyone who's a part of this class, and it's really one group, it's the people who are wearied and heavy laden are the same people. The Greek word for wearied is kopeo. It means to be wearied to the point of exhaustion because of much exertion in a difficult endeavor. I was talking to somebody this week who was working for Sam, I think, for the first time for the week. And Sam, he said, it was killing him. Throwing brick, digging holes, all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure he'll be back next week. We'll see. But wearied to the point of what? Exhaustion. The ones who are wearied and exhausted. And Luke 5:5 kind of gives you a sense of the word. Simon, when Jesus tells them to throw down a net, says, Master, we toiled how long? All night. We're exhausted and we didn't catch anything. Jesus is saying, those of you who are exhausted, we're going to see in a minute what we're exhausted with. And the word heavy laden means to cause to carry a heavy load. And it's not like you had a choice. Someone gave you the load and you were carrying it, man. And sometimes they gave you the load in the past and you were carrying it. I've been around a long time. I know some of you are carrying something from the past right now. And it's weighing you down. Perhaps what Jesus has in mind is the burden of religiosity. Religion. It tells us in Luke 11:46, Jesus speaking to the lawyers. Now, this is not, McKenzie and McCormick law firm. What it's talking about here in lawyers is the experts in the law. And the experts in the law, Jesus says to them, woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. That's that same idea of burdens. What were they doing? Well, how many commandments are there in the Jewish Torah? That's right, 613. But they made it a point to add to those things. It wasn't enough that you had to do this and this and this. They added, they expanded, so that no one felt like they were right with God. The religious leaders and lawyers with their traditions and interpretations had taken the 613 commandments of the Torah and weaponized them against the Jewish people, making void the commandments of God via the traditions of men. It's very easy for people to take religion and weaponize it and use it as a weapon against you. Oh, you're not right with God because you're not doing this. You're not doing this. You're not doing this. And these folks were oppressed that way. Mark 7:13 says, thus making void the word of God by your traditions that you've handed down and many such things you do. But in addition to being burdened with religiosity, there was the burden of sin. Psalm 38 verse 4 says, for my iniquities have gone over my head like a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. What happens when you sin? Well, it messes up your relationship with God. What if in your mind that sin was too big for God to let go? What happens to you? What if there's a lot of sins like that? And you think God is following you along the rest of your life looking for an opportunity to nail you because you're not where you ought to be. Jesus said, if you're that, if you're wearied, if you're heavy laden, if you're burdened by your sin, the what? Come unto me, and I will what? Give you rest. I myself personally, Jesus said, will ensure that you have rest. The word for rest, anopao, it's almost the word pause. I'm going to give you pause. To someone to be refreshed, to cause someone to be refreshed because they don't have to work. I'll make it possible for you no longer to have to work or to toil hard to be pleasing to God. I will give you what? Rest. I will give you rest. If you think today that if you do the seven sacraments of Catholicism, you're good. If you think that's, and you've been working it, and you know what? It's not working. I have good news for you. It's never going to work, and Jesus wants to give you rest. If you think the Ten Commandments, man, you read the Ten, and then you didn't realize there was 613, but you were having trouble with the Ten, and it's wearing you out, and you're feeling bad about yourself because you're not dealing with the Ten, and it's not working out, I've got good news for you. It's never going to work out, and Jesus wants to give you rest. If you can't fulfill the five pillars of Islam, if you can't fulfill the religious expectations or the high expectations of your parents, and it's wearing you out, I've got good news for you. Jesus wants to give you rest. You know, there's a fake rest. There was a rich man in the book of Luke, and he made lots of money, so he said the following, I will say to my soul, soul, it's like we used to say, I say to myself, self, I say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. And then he says, relax, rest. Eat, drink, and be merry, as if having money and having the ability to take care of your outward needs is going to make everything right. God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Everything you did, all that, who's going to get it? I know what everybody in this room is going to leave when they die. You're going to leave it all. All, every one of us. So is the one who lays up treasure for himself, not rich toward God. The beauty is there's an eternal rest. Jesus said in Revelation 14:13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Lord, that they may what? Rest from their labors. But you don't have to die to have rest. Somebody say amen to that. Because, you know, I'm ready to go to heaven, but if you're getting a bus up today, I'll wait. There is spiritual rest. Hebrews chapter 4, 9 and 10 says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. If I'm a follower of Christ today and I will give my heart to Christ, I can have rest. Everyone take a deep breath. Let it go. Rest. Rest for your soul. This idea may come from Jeremiah 6:16, where it says, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find what? Rest for your soul. Jesus then takes this one step further and helps us to apply this idea to our life. The how. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. How do I come unto Jesus? What does that actually mean? Well, number one, I take his yoke upon me. You're thinking, yoke. Already you got eggs in mind. You're wondering what's going on here. Well, first of all, literally, I'm supposed to take up the yoke. And Jesus said, the yoke of me, it's a bar or frame of wood by which two draft animals are joined at the head or neck in order to work together effectively in pulling a plow or wagon. Jesus said, come into the yoke with me. Actual picture of a yoke. Now, I know what you're thinking right now. Pastor Dave, I ain't going in no yoke, man. I don't want to be in a yoke. I don't even like the idea of a yoke. I want to be free. I want to be my own person. The yoke belongs to Jesus, and Jesus is in the yoke with us. Jesus pulls the cart with us. Guess who's doing the work? So when Jesus said, I want you to yoke with me, Jesus is offering to carry the load. I choose to put it on it. I wear it. I choose to put it on. You say, oh, see, that's the problem. I don't want to be under anybody's yoke. Here's the truth. There's sin's yoke, where you're under sin's yoke. Romans 6:13 says, do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who've been brought from the death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Don't put yourself in a situation where you indeed are under slavery to sin. And then there's religious yoke. In the book of Acts, the 15th chapter, Gentiles, non-Jewish people, were coming to faith. And the church had to have a meeting, because heretofore, it had been almost all Jews. And so they're trying to figure out how much of the law the new Gentile Christians had to keep. Listen to the wise words in Acts 15. These are the words of James. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? Don't get under a yoke of religion. And then there's a spirituality yoke. You know Jesus Christ as your Savior, but people are telling you, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. And maybe after you do all that, maybe God will be pleased with you. Galatians 5:1 says, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. So we have sin's yoke. We have religion's yoke. We have spirituality's yoke. And you're saying, oh, no, no. I want my yoke. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said about my yoke and your yoke. He said, no yoke is harder to bear as that yoke which a people put upon themselves. When they reject all order, break through all law, and will not submit to any principle or any government, however just or righteous, you cannot get on in this world without a yoke of some sort. So the question is, who are you going to yoke with? And then Jesus says, learn from me. That word learn, mantheno, is the word we get disciple from. Jesus is saying, be my disciple. Acquire information as a result of instruction. Learn or be instructed. Take the position of a disciple. Become my disciple. Come to me and you will find rest. What does it mean to come to me? It means yoke up with me and be my disciple. The source of learning will be Jesus. And he says you should do this because Jesus is gentle and lowly, humble. In my thinking, it means he's easily approachable in heart. Jesus knows everything you're going through, everything you've ever been through, and everything you will go through. You may say to me, Pastor, you don't understand what's going on in my life. You don't know what I've been through. And here's the truth, I don't. You may say, don't judge me, don't judge me, don't judge me. I'm trying hard not to judge me. I'm just a judge you. I'm a fruit inspector. Sometimes it concerns me. But I don't know what you've been through. You know who knows what you've been through? Jesus. Completely and thoroughly. And he says this, you will find what? Rest for your souls. When my soul is restless, when my soul is not in the good spot, I can get a night's sleep. But when I wake in the morning, guess what? I'm not rested. I can take a vacation, but when I get up the next day, I'm not rested. I can have all the comforts you could possibly want in my home. I can have the flat screen. I can have everything, but I will not experience rest. Rest is a gift from God. Soul rest is a gift from God. You will find, he says, you will discover the torment of our souls will be relieved. There will not be this religious yoke. There will not be this sin yoke. There will not be this spirituality yoke. We will indeed be free because our souls will be at rest. Our psyche is literally what the word means there. The why? For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. Why is Jesus' yoke easy and burden light? Because Jesus is doing all the work. Jesus is doing all the work. Who's responsible for change in your life? Really, Jesus. You and I cannot make ourselves different. Doesn't work. I've tried. You and I cannot make ourselves different. The one who makes us different is who? Jesus. You and I can't make ourselves saved. Who does the saving? Jesus. Jesus. He does the work. Because, he said, the aforementioned yoke of Jesus, it's pleasant. It's suitable. It's something you would want. It's not difficult to bear. It relates to the goodness of God. The aforementioned burden is light. Paul will say that this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. He will also say that, John will say that this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus changes us and makes all the difference in the world. I know what you're saying. That's not happened for me, Pastor. What's wrong? Well, maybe when we get to today's takeaways, we can work through that. Sin's yoke. Religion's yoke. Spirituality's yoke. And Jesus' yoke. Which one are you going to change? Or which one are you going to choose? Sin's yoke, you know, we're overburdened. We're burdened by what we have done, and we cannot seem to run from it. Religion's yoke, here's the solution. Follow all these rules, and if you don't, you're going to go to hell. Spirituality's yoke, to make God happy, you got to do this and this and this, and if you don't, man. So I have thought hard and long and lengthily about how I can illustrate this point to you and help it work for you. Here's my attempt. Does anyone know what that amazing thing on the screen is? It's a surrey. A surrey is what you ride on the boardwalk before 10 o'clock, because you don't want to mess with the pedestrians and the bikers, and you ride it for fun as a family. This is the surrey found at the 12th Street Surrey Station in Ocean City, New Jersey. They have a bunch of them. So our family, for over 15 years, has intermittently gone down to Ocean City, New Jersey. And our tradition is we get a surrey and go for a surrey ride. It's an amazing tradition. Now, let me explain, though, something very interesting about a surrey that you probably did not know. Do you see that it has two steering wheels? The steering wheel on the passenger side, it don't work. So you can steer it all you want, but it's not going anywhere. Do you see the pedals in the back? They don't really do anything. They only follow the pedals in the front. Do you see the pedal on the passenger side? It doesn't do a lot. So it really is only the person in the driver's seat who's actually doing most of the pedaling. So we go down to Jersey City, and my wife will say, "What day are we going to ride to Surrey?" Now, I know who's pedaling to Surrey. I know whose job it's going to be. It's going to be my job, so I put it off. No, we don't want to do Monday. No, we can't. I'm hoping it's going to rain. So we pedal. You know, we get it. We pedal to Surrey. We're having a good time. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great. 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 Yay. Sarah cries. Sarah doesn't like it all the time. It's a blast. We're pedaling. And, of course, you know, you bring family with you. Everybody's on. Yeah, everybody having a good time. Yeah, it's really good. It's great. It's great. Because I'm doing all the pedaling. It's fun for everybody. But then a couple years ago, I got an idea. I was looking at my son. And he wasn't a 12-year-old anymore. A strong 16-year-old boy, track. It occurs to me, maybe it's time we pass the mantle of the Surrey to the young man. And my son then, I said, "No, Ben, you take the driver's side, man. No, it's all yours. You're a big boy now. It's all yours." And I sat in the passenger seat, steering away, faking it all. I was fine. We had a wonderful life. You want to go another time up and down? Absolutely. Because I was yoked with him. Hey, guys. That's where you find rest. When you move over from the driver's seat of your Surrey and you say, "Jesus, take the wheel." And by faith, you turn it over to him. He is the substitute driver. Now, if you want to sit in the passenger side, pretend you're driving, go ahead. But Jesus is the substitute driver. He's the substitute for our sins. He took all of our sins upon himself so that we could be forgiven. We're trying to get rid of our sin. We're trying to get forgiveness for our sin. We're trying to put our sin behind us. Jesus died for not some of my sin, but all of my sin. And he rose again to show that God was satisfied with what he did. And if I'll place my faith in him, I am a forgiven person whose life can begin to change like never before. Jesus bears the load. For your spirituality, if you want real change in your life, ask Jesus to change you. And by faith, give him your heart so that he indeed will change you. Say, "Pastor Dave, I don't know how that's going to work out." I know. That's why it's by faith that you give him your heart. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ," what? "Lives in me. And the life I live by the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I say, "Jesus, I need to change. You change me. I'm yoking up with you for change. I'm not yoking up with me for change. I'm not yoking up with religion for change. I'm open up with you for change. Jesus, change me." So as we close today, this is deep, deep. Who's driving your Surrey? Who's in the seat? Providing all the power, providing all the direction. You can't do it halfway, guys. Salvation doesn't come for those who trust Jesus and trust their good works. Salvation comes for those who trust Jesus and Jesus alone. Change doesn't come to those who trust themselves and trust Jesus. Change comes with those who trust Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today admitting
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com. To receive a free copy of today's message, please call 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tune in next week at this same time for another edition of God in Our City.